Today we have a special person with us, Ed Larimore. And again, Ed is not candidating. But we appreciate his heart. We appreciate his willingness to come and to just spread God's word and what he has put on his heart. And we just thank him for that time. So, Ed, it's yours.
I need help here. Hey, we're on. I was feeling the Lord was leading me not to speak. But anyway, glad to be here. So good to see you folks. I've heard about you through the years. I've been a good friend of Mike Gaines. He and I were in a small group together back before small groups were popular. And it has been such a joy. He's one of my greatest friends on the planet. And to walk alongside him in the midst of life has been one of my delights. And he invited me here. I'm glad to be here. And as I said, through him, I've heard about you and some of the things you've gone through as a church body. And it really is an honor to be here. And my sister's here as well. She's another one I'm just grateful to walk alongside life with as well. So I'm glad she's here as well. And if I can I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 11? And if you haven't memorized, that's fine. You don't have to turn there. But Genesis 11, we're going to be heading into that passage. And I want to share with you it's the beginning of a series that I've done before. That's one of the most life-changing things. It's about two men. And the reason why this series came to my mind, I was reading in Genesis, and it's about Abraham. And it said this about Abraham in Genesis 25, that he says that Abraham died, and he says 176 years, and he says, he died satisfied with life. And what that word means, it means his life was rich and full. This Abraham that we talked about, when he looked back on his life, he said, it's been rich, it's been full, it's been an abundant life. His grandson, Jacob, and it says this in Genesis 47, when he was brought before Pharaoh, Jacob said this, and Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And Jacob said, 130, and he says, but few and unpleasant have been the years of my sojourning. You look back in his life, it's gone like that, and it's been miserable. And I thought, what a contrast. Two men called by God, God's hand in their life, God's hand was on them. One ended up with a very rich and full life. One ended up, man, it's gone like this, and it's been miserable. What's the difference in these two men's lives? And let me ask you, just because you have God, does that mean, hey, you're enjoying it? Not necessarily. And there's so many truths we can learn from these two men, the things that Abraham did well, and the things that that Jacob, even though he had God, didn't necessarily add to his benefit. And where are you in your Christian walk? Is your life rich and full and abundant, or it's just one of those things, you know, it's just going by and it is miserable? There's some answers that we're going to go through here that I hope will minister to your soul. What I'd like to do, I'd like to pray. Can we pray? Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for these two men and how you had your hand in their lives and that you're a God that wants to indeed work in us. This Advent season that we enjoy, it's because you're the God of glory and you want to share your life with us. Father, I pray that you'd use this time and that you would indeed work, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said with Abraham, he died, you know, satisfied with life. And I think one of the most powerful things about that, it's that he died satisfied with life. Now, how can you tell when you win a race? When you're ahead at the beginning or at the end? You need to be ahead at the end. How do you know you have a good car? Is when you first buy it? Or after you've had 100,000, 200,000 miles on it and you say, man, this is a good vehicle. And for you young people, how can you tell you can have a good life? A lot of things that seem good about life when you're young are not necessarily the things that may mean a lot to you when you're old. And Abraham said he died satisfied with life when he looked back. And I'm reminded of Barbara Bush when she was asked to come and speak at a kind of a women's, you know, feminist college. And they didn't really want Barbara Bush because all she was a housewife. And they had, you know, people were stood up in arms and say, we don't want her, we don't want her. And she knew she was coming into a hostile crowd. And Barbara Bush came up and she began to speak and she goes, I'm aware many of you would rather not have me here because all I've ever been is a housewife. But I want you to know, I am old and you are young. Because I am old and you are young, I see things differently than what you see when you're young. He goes, when you get to be my age and you look back, you're not going to care about the corner office and all the advancements you got in your position. That's not going to mean that much to you. You know what's going to mean a lot to you? The love you have for your husband, his love for you. The meaningful relationships you have with your children and your children's children, those are the things that will mean a lot to you. And one of the powerful things about Abraham is that he died. End of his life, he looked back. And I want you, when you look back, when it comes to the end of your life, you go, man, life has been rich. Life has been full. Are you saying that? If so, God bless you. If not, why not? And I think we can learn some things from Abraham, and I'm convinced that the satisfaction that began in Abraham's life began with God's work, God's hand. This God that we celebrate with the Advent, this God came and was a part of his life, and Abraham responded. And you'll notice there's an outline at your seat there that we have for you, but basically, you can experience satisfaction, but if you can recognize God working in your life, are you allowing him to work? Are you recognizing, what does this look like? And I am convinced that satisfaction began at this particular passage that we're going to, you know, in 11 and 12 of Genesis. And how God worked in Abraham is very similar to how he's going to work in yours. Do you recognize it? How do you respond? Are you responding well? This God wants to be a part with you. Are you open to that? Notice point number one. You know, God works by preparing you to hear from him. And I want to just begin by notice the passage in Genesis 11. We're going to read 27 through 32, and this is what is said. And it says, this is a genealogy of Terah, which is who is Abraham, or Abram and Abraham are the two same men. Before God changed Abram's name. But Terah was Abram's father. But Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father in Terah, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Ishbak. But Sarai was barren, and she had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from them, from Ur of the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, in order for you to really grasp this passage, what's happening, I want to lay this whole, you know, stadium here or this whole congregation here out as kind of a map of the Holy Land. And this pulpit is going to be north. And what happens if you have the Holy Lands laid out back along here, back in this back corner, back where the coffee pot is the Persian Gulf. And out of the Persian Gulf is a Tigris and Euphrates River, and they roll, they flow right along this side of the sanctuary here. And back here, near the Persian Gulf, is the city of Ur. And that's where this family lived. And then if you come up along the Tigris and Euphrates River, down along a little further north on it, is another city called Haran. Now realize there's a brother called Haran. There's also a city called Haran, so don't get confused by that. And then out here, in the middle here, is all the desert region. And when people had to travel, they always came down what they called the Fertile Crescent along those rivers. And they came down in, and out over here is the Mediterranean Sea. And here in the middle is the Jordan River, the Sea of Galilee in the north, Jordan River, and the Dead Sea right here in the middle. That gives you kind of a layout of what was happening. As this story begins, where did Abram and his family live? They lived in the city of Ur. And notice what happened when he was in the city of Ur. He was there with his brothers Nahor and Haran. And who died? Haran died in the presence of his dad. Some of you have had a sibling die and you've watched your sibling die before you. Some of you have watched your sibling die in front of their parents and the grief that it caused, and Abram watching his brother die in front of his dad. Some of you have seen that. Also said this, he ended up getting Lot. Now what happened, Lot was, you know, his sister Milcah married his uncle. Back then the gene pools were clean, so they could do that. Milcah married Nahor. Well, now here's Lot, just lost his dad. He's got to make a decision. What family do you go to? If he goes over to Nahor, his sister becomes his mom. That's kind of a weird thing. So where does he go? Lot goes with Abram. And that kind of helps because notice what it said, Sarai was not able to have children. Some of you know the pain of that. Not able to have children. Some of that was even expressed this morning. What is that like? So Abraham gets another added responsibility, had the weird family thing, and some of you know what weird family things are about and the struggles of that. What ends up happening, Terah watches his son die, and then they decide to go to the land of Canaan. They do not go through the desert. They have to walk alongside the Fertile Crescent. So they're walking together as a family, and they get down to the city of Haran. And when they're here, what do they find? Terah, Abraham's dad, dies. And he passes away. Some of you have had parents. Watch them die. That's what happened with Abram. So he watched and his dad passes away. Now he's here with Lot in the land of Haran. And some of you have moved. You just left your hometown. You've done the moving thing, trying to get settled in the middle of that move. Never reached the Canaan land. And the plans are interrupted. You've experienced the struggles of moving. As I share that story, I want to read an article that was a part of a paper from Contra Costa Time, and it said this. And it says, an elderly woman was driving her husband eastward on Marsh Creek Road. The woman drifted out of her lane and was hit by a westbound truck. The elderly couple were severely injured and helicoptered to Kaiser Hospital in Walnut Creek. The woman who was driving the vehicle is in stable condition. Her husband did not survive the accident. You know, I read this, you know, in Contra Costa Times. And I don't know, like many of you, I'll read articles like that and I'll pass it away. And it doesn't really affect me too badly. Reason why I remember that article, the people in that article are my mom and dad. That was my dad who died in that accident. You know, when we read what happened to Abraham, he was living that. And it's so much different reading about it than actually experience it. And the reality of this. And I want to ask you, what was going on here? But Abraham was going through, he'd seen the loss of his brother. He'd watched his dad struggle. Then he watched his dad pass away. And those struggles of life. And some of you are right there. Some of you are in Ur, that life's a mess. And struggles, and you're in the middle of battles. You know what it's like to lose people, and you're watching family struggles, or some of those things, or you're down here, and you've had a chance to watch your parents die, and what's happening? And you know what I find, what God is doing? Jesus said this, he who has ears, what do you have to do? Let them hear. You know what God is doing? He's preparing you to hear from him. Let me ask you, are you? Because many people don't. They go through struggles and there's battles going on and life's falling apart and they don't go to hear. Rather than better, they get bitter. Rather than hear, they harden. There's no God. Many people turn their back on him. Let me ask you, is that you? And I'm finding this in the midst of the battles and the struggles of life and what you might be going through. It's the God of glory saying, listen, would you hear from me? I want to ask you, would you? Would you soften rather than harden? Would you hear rather than harden? Would you, God, would you take these things? I will take my ears. I will let them hear. The people that Jesus ministered to were the sick, the troubled, and the questioning. Hey, Abraham has 15 grandchildren living in Ur, everything going well, and God calls him. What do you think? Think he'd hear? I think you know along with me. The times that God speaks to us are in the midst of struggle. And God sends him. It's through his divine hand. He wants to work in your life. Let me ask you, are you letting him? How important that is. That we indeed, rather than get bitter, we get better. And to really tune in our ears. But now what do we do? What's the next thing that happens? Again, God prepares to speak. But notice point number two. God works by speaking to you. Let's go to the next verses. What happens right after that? So here is, you know, here's Abram. Dad just died. Brother's gone. I have Lot. And he's in the city of Haran. And this is what God says to him. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Notice what he says. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Get the picture? Here in Haran is Abraham. And all of a sudden, God speaks, preparing him to hear. And what does he tell him? He says, Abraham, I want you to leave the land of your family. And he wants him to go where? To the land of Canaan. Did he tell him where it was? He says, the land that I will show you. Now, wouldn't it have been easier? God, why don't you just give me the map? It's right here. All you got to do is walk there and be there. Did God say that? Certainly. God messed that up, didn't he? He says, go to the land where I will show you. And what is he going to do? Once you get there, what am I going to do? I'm going to make you a great nation. And in you, the entire world is going to be blessed. Who you curse will be cursed. Those who bless you, I will bless. God says, my hands are going to be on you. Now let me ask, okay, God speaks. A couple things here. And I'm hoping I can get this set up. And do we have one of these mics that I can use this? But, you know, God speaks. Now how do we know God was speaking? You know, there is a, God was speaking. And you know, have you heard a lot of people say, you know, God spoke to me. And you go, are you sure that was God? And there's a lot of voices out there. But there's only one spirit. There's a lot of gods, but there's only one the God. And when you get in these situations and you're struggling and God's going to speak, you need to know that the voice that you're hearing is indeed God's. And I'm hoping through the wonders of technology, I'm going to be able to make this work. And do we have a mic that's still wired up here? And my technology experience... it's not real good. All right, so I want you to listen to this voice. Now, one of these voices is my wife's voice. And Mike, you can't give this away. Nina, you can't either. And I want you to see if we can make this happen. You got to listen to this and see if it sounds like my wife.
Real close.
My name is Nixie Larimore.
Did you guys hear that? It's pretty weak. Hold on. All right, hold on. We got another one. All right, here's another. Oh, that's not.
You're close.
My name is Nixie Larimore.
Hold on, try that again, Nick.
My name is Nixie Larimore.
There it is. All right, and then there's the last.
My name is Nixie Larimore.
We heard you. All right, hold on. Now, here's one more.
A lot.
All right, hold one more.
Hello, my name is Nixie Larimore.
You guys hear that? One more.
Hello, my name is Nixie Larimore.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Now, question. How many think Nixie Larimore was number one? Got a few hands out there. How many thought it was number two? Now, I'm going to be offended on this one. How many thought it was number three? All right. How do we know it was Nixie Larimore? If my wife called me on the phone, hey, this is Nix, how would I know? A couple things. I know my wife. I know her voice. It make, you know, it sounds the same. It sounds like my wife. I can tell. Now, if it didn't, say she had a bad voice that day and sound different, could I still tell if it was my wife? How come? You know her. I could ask questions. There's things that we know together that nobody else would know. And number two was my wife. That was my wife, Nix. But there's things that I could ask her, and the same thing happens. I want you to realize when you're here and you're saying, I want to hear the voice of God, you need to know that the voice that's coming to you is indeed God's. And you need to check it out. Because there's a lot of times God will ask you to do stupid things. And if God's not a part of it, all you're doing is something stupid. But if God's a part of it, it's a great idea. How do you know? When God speaks, a couple things. You know what God's going to... When you look at what God just asked Abraham and how he spoke there, it's probably how he's going to speak to you. And all through the Scripture, you get a chance to learn what this God is like so you can judge against what you're hearing. Is this indeed in agreement with all the Scripture and all the historical background you can get? But I want you to notice what he did. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave your father and your mother in this land. More than likely, when God speaks to you, what he's going to ask? He's going to ask you to leave something. He's going to ask you to leave addictions and follow after freedom. He's going to ask you to leave greed and go on to generosity. But you look at the content. He says, I'm going to ask you to leave this, and he says, I want you to go to. Not only is he asking you to leave, he's going to ask you to go to something, to the land of Canaan. And when God speaks, more than likely the content of what he's going to talk to you about, he's going to ask you to leave. He's going to ask you to go to. He's going to ask you to leave immorality, go on into purity. Wow. He's going to ask you to experience things in life. That's how God works. It's probably going to cost you something, but I want you to realize this. It's going to cost you. It's going to be given to you for free, but it's going to cost you everything to follow after this God. But I want you to know, if you stay here or you want to go back there, that's going to cost you too. Have you watched people who had that same decision? Abraham said, I'm going to follow after this voice. Many don't. Many of you have made that decision. I want you to know it's going to cost you. And the most satisfying things in life are going to be missed by you, but God is saying, would you? He's going to ask you to go on into other things. Also, let me say this. When God speaks, another thing about God's content is beyond your wildest dreams. Now, I don't know about you. I don't think I was Abraham over here going, doggone it. I don't have a nation. Everybody else has a nation. I don't. How come I can't bless the world? He's probably not saying that. He's probably thinking, man, I'm hoping I just have enough for today and I would like to have a child. But God's saying, hey, I'm going to give you a nation. You follow after me and through you the entire nation will be blessed. That God is, in his content, he's going to ask you, he's going to promise things to you that are beyond your wildest dreams. That you're going to have to stretch your arms to receive it. But you're going to have to stretch your faith to believe it. This God of glory is speaking and asking and offering things to me that are beyond anything I've ever asked. And many of you are right there. You're in the midst of struggles and maybe you're hearing things from God for the first time and you're wondering, is this indeed worth it? And God's not going to give you a roadmap. Also, you need to know, God's going to make it where you're going to have to step out in faith. He's not going to plan it out for you. You're probably not going to know any more than you do right now for today. And day by day, that's how it's built. Every day, Abraham had to get up. Is this the promised land? No, it's not. Okay, pack up all the stuff. Put it. Get up the next day. And it's a day by day trusting this voice that began it. That, walking in obedience, is where this satisfying life is found. Let me ask you, do you have that? Do you want it? God offers it to you. Some of you are right there. That God is speaking to you maybe for the first time, and all I can say, man, you're hearing things. Maybe this is brand new to you. Tune in your ears. God, what you say, I will trust. What God is asking, will you trust me? It's the message throughout the scriptures is what God's asking. Will you? Or you can say, no, you know, I like Ur. I like Haran. I like living life where I am. That will cost you too. So what do? When God speaks, notice point number 3. God works when you obey his command. So what does Abraham do? Notice verses 4 and 6. He says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the Tebarinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. Okay, so what happens? Abram, he's in Haran. He hears the voice of God. What does he decide to do? Obey. He follows. He's 75 years, he gathers up all his stuff, he has Lot, has all that, moves, puts it all together, goes out there, and the first day they're trudging, da-da-da-da-da. Is this the land? No, okay, get all the stuff off the camel, put it all down, put, you know, get set up tent, you know, make sure everybody goes to the bathroom. We have, you know, they get everything set up, and they get up the next day and they trudge and they da 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 da, and then they go, okay, is this the land? Nothing. Okay, get all the stuff, they put it all down, they get, you know, get everything set up, and okay, and they go again the next day. Does this sound like work to you? I want you to realize to obey God's word takes work. And it is, I want you to know, it is fun to hear sermons. But these sermons, these things that you hear from me, you can't live them here. You know where you got to live them? Out there. In your families. In front of your children. And it is work. And you know, I don't know about you, but this coming year, you know, I want to think about exercising a lot more. I love to think about exercising. I love to hear sermons, and I hope to do a whole bunch more this coming year. And but you know what's really hard about exercise? When you got to get up the next morning and go run till you're tired, and then you got to do it again the next day. And you know what makes exercise valuable? It's because it's hard. And when God says, are you going to follow me? You know why he makes it hard? He wants to know if you mean it. And this obedience thing is not an easy thing. You know, I remember, you know, with my daughter, you know, it was easy to love my daughter when she was doing 4.0, doing everything well. You know, the real test of my love was not that. The test of my love was when it was difficult and she started acting out and stuff was happening. I had this idea I was a loving dad. No, it's pretty humbling. I'm going to follow God as long as I don't have to take down this stuff once again. And some of you are right here, you're trudging in obedience. And boy, it's a day in and day out and things that you've, you know, promises from God, and it's just the drudgery of obedience. And I want you to realize sometimes the Christian life and how God works, it's trudging in obedience. It's just up and down. It's the work. But I want you to realize it's one of the most valuable things. It's how God tests you at your core. But I also want you to know a couple things in the midst of this. God gives you and wants you to obey. Do you notice at the very end it says, and there were, who was within the land? Canaanites. So here you are trudging in obedience, and you come in close to the land of Canaan, and all is filled with Canaanites. Now let me ask you, all right, you're Abraham back here, and God says, hey, I'm going to give you a great land, and you're going to bless the world. I don't know what goes on in your mind, but you know what I'm thinking? Oh, this is going to be beautiful. There's going to be butterflies and meadows, and my wife and I are going to run through the meadows together and enjoy the new land. And then you get here, and you go, who are these guys? And these Canaanites want to kill me, don't like me here, don't want me. And I want you to realize this. The things that God promises you and what you experience as you experience the promises of God are not going to be what you expected. A lot of the blessings that God gave me, man, they did not unfold the way I thought they would. And did God say, hey, the Canaanites were going to be there? I am sure it was in some verse somewhere. But I want you to realize in the midst of you trudging through obedience and then you get into things that this just doesn't seem to be what I thought it was going to be. You know, the marriage I'm in was, boy, that wasn't exactly what I thought, or the children that I'm raising, or the job that I have, or the struggles I'm going through. So realize this. Obedience takes work. And it's also, you're going to be experiencing things that you probably weren't expecting. What do you do? You know what the scriptures say? Those, they will reap if they faint not. A lot of people get right here in their Christianity, I'm done. And they quit. And you can't. God says this, you will reap if you faint not. And the trudging of obedience, God, I'm just going to shoulder it up and I'm going to live on the hope that what you have and some of the stuff that you've designed is for your good. I just went through some struggles and I'm going, God, I know you are loving me more deeply than I can understand. And some of you are right there. All I can say, don't quit. Trudge in obedience for the blessing of God. So what happens? How important that is. But notice, it's one of the things that God does, and that's in notice point number four. God works when he appears and you worship him. Notice what happens in verse 7. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Get the picture? Abram picking up his stuff, going in day and day out. Is this the land? No. Is this the land? No. Is this the land? Suddenly comes the land of Canaan, and what does God say? Abraham, this is the land. I remember E.V. Hill, the great black pastor. He says, because we're children of God, we become tremendous candidates, what he calls divine supplement. Where all of a sudden God goes, here. And he said, I remember he was telling a story like when he had left and his mom wanted him to go on to a Bible college and they didn't have any money and she gave him $6 or $7 and he got on a bus and he was heading. He says, I have no money for the tuition and going into this Bible college. I'm going to look like an idiot when I get off the bus and I don't have any money. But God said, follow me. And so he's following him and he gets off the bus and there's this big long line. You got to pay the tuition at the end of it. And he goes, I'm going to look like an idiot. But God says, stand in line. So what do? stand in line. And he's working his way up, and pretty soon it's between him and another guy. He's fretting, and he's worried, and going, "What is? I'm going to look like an idiot." And God says, "Stay in line." He stayed in line. And just as he's about ready to step up to the lady to tell her that I don't have any money, a guy taps him on the shoulder. He says, "Are you Edward Hill?" He goes, "I am. Would you come with me?" Took him to a room and said, "You know, I want you to know, we heard about you. We're offering you a full scholarship." And he goes, and suddenly, God just says, "Here." And you know what you do? What did Abraham do? What did he do? He built an altar. Did God tell him to do that? How come he did it? He wanted to. Did somebody have to tell Evie Hill to praise God and what just happened here? All of a sudden your worship becomes the God of glory showed up and he said, "Here you are." All you can do is raise your hands and say, "God of glory." He didn't even raise, he just fell on his face. "God, you're God and you've offered this to me." He built an altar. Now, why did he build an altar? He wanted to worship. And now there's a memory. And the kids are going to go, "What's this, Dad? What's this, Mom?" Well, let me tell you the story. And we tell stories of this God of glory that we followed and we trudged in obedience. And all of a sudden, God says, "Here." And you just fall on your face and you say, "God, you are God. I am not. Praise to you." Amen. That is the whole show. And, you know, just a little bit of my story. And I remember, you know, when it talks about here, the luz basically meant almond tree. Well, then that place was now called Bethel, which was a meeting place of God. An almond tree. The common almond tree becomes a meeting place of God. Let me ask you, do you have meeting places of God in your life? I remember a small little church, you know, Tabernacle Baptist in Concord, California, is where I heard the gospel for the first time, resonated with my soul, and a plain little sanctuary became a Bethel experience where the God of glory spoke to me. And I remember a friend, I had athletic aspirations and scholarship offers and battling, where should I go? What should I do? And I said, "God, if you supply a scholarship to a Christian college, I'll go in your name." And I remember a little bedroom in Knights in California, met with a friend of mine. He said, "He just talked to the coach about me. Scholarship is waiting for you." And all of a sudden, that little bedroom became a meeting place, a Bethel experience where God used that, directed my life, and the decisions I made from there transformed who I am as a man. My impact on my family, and it's still resonating out there. And Nights in California, and then sanctuaries in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I remember too, for praying for months at a place in a place where I was staying out in Lynchburg. My wife was foolishly engaged to another man, and I'm praying all winter. I said, "God, I would be interested in her, but I don't want to interrupt this. I'm not going to manipulate it." And then I got word, this guy came to recruit people where the camp we worked with together. "Did you hear about Nixie?" And I go, "No." "Yeah, she broke her engagement." I go, "Really?" So I immediately wrote the next day and we began this correspondence. And I remember as I was traveling out to go to a baseball, I had a baseball opportunity in Europe, and I was traveling out for training camp, and I was traveling with her. And I've been praying all winter. And suddenly it said, "God goes here." And this correspondence began. And I was telling her about that. I said, "Nix, I've been praying about you all winter." And she was asking, "Do you would like to stay with her or another friend?" And I said, "Nix, no, I'd like to stay with you." And she said, "You know, it's amazing, Ed. The reason why I broke up with this man? Because of you." Really? I had no idea. And all of a sudden, God says, "Here." Now, I didn't have an altar. I should have built something. And so my kids would ask. And we have told them the story. And suddenly your life becomes a corridor of Bethel experience. And you just build altars and your life becomes a testimony of the power, the glory of God. If there's something more satisfying in life, I don't know what it is. I want to ask you, do you have that? And as we conclude here, let me just say this. Some of you are different places. Some of you are over here. You're in the midst of battles and struggles. And there's just stuff happening in your life, and perfectly honest, you probably resent it. And you can get really hardened toward God. All I can say, don't harden. Learn to soften your heart. God, I have ears. Let me hear. And God, if you're real, would you make yourself real to me? And some of you may be right here, that you're hearing a lot of things and you're still trying to sort it out, that you need to know for certain that this God that you're hearing is indeed the voice of the God. And to talk to people and discern and to say, okay, God, listen, would you, you know, I know you don't stutter. Can you reaffirm? Can I get this validated? That this voice I'm hearing is indeed God's. But also, you need to realize this, that God does not reveal truth to you so you can play with it. He reveals truth to you so you can follow it. And you got to say, God, whatever you say, I will do. And unless you have that, according to James 1, you're not going to hear anything from God. Your battle, say, God, your servant hears, I will follow. Some of you are here, the trudging of obedience, and you're just up and down and going after it and just waiting, and it's battle, and you're obeying God, but your call, don't quit. Don't quit. This is the only race worth winning. And some of you, God has said, here. You've received a lot of things. You know what you do? You just build the altar to the glory of God, and you share it. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your work in our lives, and I thank you for the things that you show us. And God, you want to be a part with us. And there's people here, and they're all over the map here. And I want to ask that you would speak to them, that they would indeed clearly hear from you, that the things that they've heard here would resonate with their soul, that this is indeed from you, that they would step out, that they would trust you and find that you alone are worth trusting and following. Use it, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.